of us wrongly. It doesn't rhyme with previous. It isn't mischievous. It rhymes with grievous, mischievous. Susie said so many people say it incorrectly, so that's fine, but is it? At four, a TV channel says it wants to show old films without fear of an Ofcom fine if it leaves in the original outdated language. Should we edit films to make them fit for 2025? And first, Keir Starmer's under pressure to sack his attorney general, who compared calls to quit the ECHR to the philosophy of Nazis in the 1930s. Should he give him the boot? Give me a call, 0345 6060973. This is LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 3 o'clock... LBC understands UK officials will speak to the US at the earliest opportunity to understand the implications of Donald Trump's latest steel tariffs. President Trump's announced the US will double its current tax rate on steel and aluminium imports from 25% to 50% from next Wednesday. There have been long delays on the M5 after a fatal crash which happened last night. Two adults and a teenager died after a car came off the carriageway in South Gloucestershire. The US Defence Secretary's warned that China is rehearsing for a potential invasion of Taiwan. Speaking at a security conference in Singapore, Pete Hegger said that the threat from Beijing could be imminent. A three-drug combination could help those living with a form of aggressive breast cancer to live longer and reduce the need for chemotherapy. Around 55,000 women and 400 men are diagnosed with breast cancer in the UK every year. This comes as the NHS debates whether to start offering cancer checks to women in their 30s. It normally starts when women turn 50. Sally Cum from the charity Breast Cancer Now told LBC early screening can have a big impact.
We would welcome any research that helps us better identify those people that are at increased risk of breast cancer so that there can be any interventions such as early screening so that we can better identify those people and screen those people.
It's been revealed that an officer stabbed at a prison in Worcestershire yesterday was attacked with a knife brought in from outside jail. A 25-year-old was airlifted to hospital after the attack. A recent inspection of HMP Long Larton described drones as an increasingly critical problem for the prison. Around 250 million bees are thought to have escaped after a lorry carrying them overturned in the US. Honeybees were being transported from Washington across the country to pollinate farm crops. Officials hope most can be recovered. LBC weather staying dry with lots of sunshine this afternoon, warm overnight as well. Tomorrow, cloudy with sunny spells. There could be the odd shower, a high of 23. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Sinead Carroll.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Vanessa Feltz.
Delightful LBC listener, a very warm welcome to the programme. How nice to have your company on this clement and beautiful afternoon. I hope you're in magnificent fettle. I hope you are chatty and loquacious. I hope you have a great deal to say, and I hope you're going to say it to me because I'm looking forward to hearing it. So thank you very much indeed for your company this afternoon. Let's plunge directly into this. Let me give you a couple of front page headlines today. Pressure builds on Starmer to sack law chief over Nazi smear. And the Daily Mail, that was the Telegraph, the Mail, PM told to sack legal chief over Nazi slur. This is what happened. The Prime Minister is under pressure, as you've heard, to sack his Attorney General and old college chum Lord Hermer. Why? Well, Lord Hermer was forced to apologise yesterday for what he described as clumsy remarks, likening politicians wanting to leave the ECHR to legal experts in 1930s Germany who rejected international law and human rights in favour favour of state power. For the sake of reasonable discussion, let's revisit exactly what the Attorney General said in what was supposed to be an exceedingly dry speech at the Royal United Services Institute think tank. In other words, nobody thought anyone would take a blind bit of notice of this speech. And then this is what Lord Hermer said. Once you know what he said, then you can tell me what you think about it. This is what he said. He said, the idea of leaving the European Court of Human Rights was, and I quote, the rest of this is a quotation from him, a rejection of the siren song that can sadly now be heard in the Palace of Westminster and in some spectrums of the media, that Britain abandons the constraints of international law in favour of raw power. This is not a new song, said the Attorney General. The claim that international law is fine as far as it goes, but can be put aside when conditions change, is a claim that was made in the early 1930s by realist jurists in Germany, most notably Carl Schmitt, whose central thesis was in essence the claim that state power is all that counts, not law. And then he continues, because of the experience of what followed in 1933, far-sighted individuals rebuilt and transformed the institutions of international law as well as internal constitutional law. And just for your information, Adolf Hitler became German Chancellor in 1933. So as you heard there, Lord Hermer did not use the word Nazi, nor did he use the word Hitler, but he did, although some commentators have said grudgingly, apologise. A spokesperson for the Attorney General said, although he rejects the characterisation of his speech by the Conservatives, he acknowledges that his choice of words was clumsy and regrets having used this reference. Calls for Hermer to resign or for Keir Starmer to fire him are mounting. Tory leader Kemi Badenoch accused him of calling people who disagree with him Nazis and urged the PM to sack him. Shadow Justice Secretary Robert Jenrick said Lord Hermer's appalling smear shows the complete disdain with which Labour views people who care about border security. He is a liability that you can't trust to defend Britain's interests. Badenoch adds, this isn't just embarrassing, it's dangerous. Hermer doesn't believe in government. He believes in the rule of lawyers, not the rule of law. If Sir Keir Starmer had any backbone, he'd sack him. But will he risk upsetting his old friend and former donor? I doubt it. Reform UK's Richard Tice says Lord Hermer should resign, saying he has tried to prevent legitimate debate and discussion about whether to leave the ECHR by smearing, labelling and linking its opponents with extreme references to 1930s Germany. So now it's over to you, lovely LBC listener. You know the number 0345 6060973, and I'm delighted to see the lines already lighting up. It's over to you. Do you think all is fair in love, war and politics? And denigrating opponents by flinging odious historical comparisons at them is pretty much par for the course. It's what everyone does to make your opponent look terrible. You compare them with something far worse or a much worse regime or something that's lost its reputation or someone that nobody can stand. And you say they're just like that. You call people fascists. You call people communists, you call people black shirts, you call people whatever you think will, the mud that you fling at them, whichever you think will stick, you use, and that is just a technique and it's been going on forever. Maybe you think that. Maybe you think that Lord Hermer is right. Extracting the UK from the ECHR is a retrogressive and worrying move. Why wouldn't we, you might wonder, want to be affiliated to a body created expressly for upholding human rights? Well, would we not want to be part of that? Is there something repellent and deeply worrying about a move to sever links with the ECHR? Do you agree with Lord Hermer's analysis? Maybe you think he understated it. Maybe you're aghast at his apology because you think what he said was accurate and an apt expression of his views. Or maybe you're horrified at the Attorney General's comments, you're furious at the desire to separate the United Kingdom from the aegis of the European Court of Human Rights, being equated with 1930s German ideology. Maybe you think this is the lowest common denominator rhetorical technique, dissing anyone who disagrees with your point of view by finding a tenuous and unconvincing way to compare them with the Nazis. So it's over to you, Lord Hermer, Attorney General, friend to the stars. Should he stay or should he go? 0345 6060973, and you really should want to have your say on this one. Let's go straight though to Ben Habib, former deputy leader of Reform UK. Ben, what do you think? Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. So leaving aside, for example, whether or not he should be sacked for making offensive comments, I think he's fundamentally wrong on the ECHR point. you know, for those of us who wish to leave the ECHR to repeal the Human Rights Act, which is the embodiment of the European Convention of Human Rights in domestic law, it comes down fundamentally to this, and that is that the European Court of Human Rights is a foreign court. It's not a court which can be held account in any shape or form by the British people. It has no democratic mandate in the UK, and it worked extremely well as a convention, as the name suggests, European Convention of Human Rights. And that was all well and good for the 40 years that it was a convention. But when it was upgraded to being actually effective in domestic law and not just guiding principles, it effectively became the imposition of international an international court on a domestic peoples. And paradoxically, and I'm sure Lord Hermer is aware of this, Article 21 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights requires that all people are governed democratically. And the European Court of Human Rights is a fundamentally undemocratic court.
In your opinion, Ben, sorry to interrupt you, but in your opinion, yeah, what are the sorts of pronouncements or verdicts or jurisdictions that the European Court of Human Rights subjects us to or projects onto us or makes us subscribe to? What are the kind of influences that it has on us in the United Kingdom that you would like to sever us away from?
But just a couple of things. While it was a convention, for the 40 years it was a convention, the European Court of Human Rights adjudicated 850 cases, roughly. Since it was given powers of enforcement, effectively, across its member states, it's had 25,000 in the last 27 years. It's a court that's out of control. But I think the real damage that it's done, Vanessa, is to equate all of humanity within the United Kingdom as being entirely equal. And it, in its perfectly noble aim to protect humanity, it has set aside the benefit and privileges of being a British citizen, and which is why we see so many topsy-turvy policies coming out of government, including, for example, an inability to enforce our borders. Because the British government, through the Human Rights Act, now doesn't see itself as being obliged to the British people any more than it's obliged to all of humanity. And this is a fundamental point where the application of supranational law, international law, in a domestic scenario is deeply damaging to the domestic scenario, in other words, to the nation state.
I mean, what you just said, Ben, I think will worry very many people listening, because when you said the European Court of Human Rights sees all people or all human beings as equal, and then you dot, dot, dot went on to say, but in this country, the interests and the needs and the wants and desires of British citizens should be paramount and should prevail. I think there will be many people whom you left at the first post on this one, who think that all human beings are equal and are created equal and all have equal human rights. And that, for example, when a person arrives in this country, they are equal to anybody else in this country because we're all human beings and all created equal. They might not like your thesis that the European Court of Human Rights imposes this on us, and that actually British people are on a different level, on a different sort of stratosphere from other people.
You're conflating two issues there. One is the basic principles of the protection of human rights, and that is perfectly sensible and should apply right across the globe. The other is setting aside the privileges that one should get being a British citizen. I think if those that govern us can't understand that British citizens who are born here, bred here, live here, pay into the tax net, should get benefits as a result of the contribution that they make to society, to the exchequer, and so on. If they don't get laws and policies made for their protection, their betterment, then they are being set aside. The democratic principle itself is being set aside by the way the European Convention is being applied. Of course, we must have human rights. Of course, so there are certain inalienable rights that people should be afforded. But that is being misapplied through the Human Rights Act and the European Convention breaking domestic law. It is setting aside what it means to be a British citizen. Now, it's a very fine balance, and it's very easy to conflate the two and get confused. But I think a lot of the ills we face as a country now is as a result of taking what was 17, 18 conventions that were crafted in 1950 and then making them part of domestic law and putting a foreign court in charge of us. That's the heart of the problem.
Let's just get to the nub of what we're talking about now, which is the Attorney General, what he said, and whether you think Keir Starmer should fire him or whether he himself should fall upon his sword and resign. What do you think?
So in the pursuit of freedom of speech, which is also a human right, I don't think he should be fired for that. There are many reasons why Hermer should be fired, including, for example, making the case to the Caribbean islands that they should sue the British government for reparations. I can't see how you could have an attorney general who is batting for the Caribbean islands against this country, including trying to change the legacy, the Northern Irish Legacy Act, so that someone like Gerry Adams could bring a case against the British government. Mm. These are the kinds of things Hermer has done for which he should be fired, because he should. There's no place for anyone in government who tries to do that sort of thing. But whether or not he thinks I'm a Nazi, that's his... I think you said he didn't quite say that, but whether or not he thinks I'm a Nazi, frankly, to me, is irrelevant. I couldn't care less what he says. What I really care about is what he does. And he's fundamentally mistaken on the European Convention of Human Rights, and he's a fundamental... mentally, I think, bad man because of the positions he takes on all these more important issues.
Ben, thank you very much indeed for joining us. That's Ben Habib, former deputy leader of Reform UK, taking your calls on this one. The Prime Minister under pressure to sack his Attorney General, an old college chum, Lord Hermer, who apologised yesterday, though grudgingly, and through a spokesperson for what he described as clumsy remarks, likening politicians wanting to leave the ECHR to legal experts in 1930s Germany. I wonder what you think about this one. Get in touch, 0345 606 0973. I really want to know whether you feel strongly about this. Maybe you agree with Ben Habib that the Attorney General should be fired for a host of other things that you don't like. Maybe you think he doesn't have the UK's best interests at heart. 0345 606 0973. Straight after the break, I'll be talking to Andrew Boff, Conservative member of the London Assembly, about this, and also Gavin in Carlisle, Cumbria. But looking forward to hearing from you. 0345 606 0973. I'm Vanessa Felt. This is LBC in the time, 3:16.
This is LBC.
Thanks to their unique boutique spirit, there really is nothing quite like a Saga River Cruise. There are the elegantly designed Spirit ships, the all-inclusive dining, and of course, Saga's carefully selected excursions. You know, they'll even drive you to and from the airport with their nationwide chauffeur service.
How long now, Charles?
Oh, half an hour.
Marvellous. Search Saga River Cruises. Experience is everything. 2026 season on sale now. Chauffeur service available on UK mainland. Full terms apply, over 50s only.
When you're transported somewhere you've never been. When you discover hidden gems and amazing sights. When you just can't wait to pack your bags.
It's just stunning.
We should definitely go there.
I'm already looking at flights.
Nice.
Nothing brings us together like great TV. And a TV licence covers you to watch all TV channels so you can enjoy a world of travel from the comfort of your sofa. Search TV licence together.
How do you grow a perfectly sweet strawberry? Well, it takes more than just soil and water, but time, care and the best conditions to flourish. At Tesco, we keep every strawberry warm during the day and cold during the night to ensure they develop the sweetest flavour. It may seem like a little thing, but to us, it's everything. Now, if you don't mind, the strawberries are sleeping. Tesco. Every little helps.
Tired of watching your uninvested cash do nothing? With the Bank of England base rate reducing, investment platform IG is doing something extraordinary. IG is offering a whopping 8.5% AER variable on all uninvested cash. Yes, 8.5%. Just open an account, transfer money in, and make one investment before May 31st to unlock this incredible rate. Visit IG.com now to open an investment account today. Your capital is at risk. GIA, ISA and SIP accounts only. Boosted rate applies until 31st August 2025. Terms and conditions apply.
Vanessa Feltz on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
PM told to sack legal chief over Nazi slur. Let's discuss this with Andrew Boff, Conservative member of the London Assembly. What do you think, Andrew? Thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you, Vanessa. Lovely to hear from you.
Good to have you on. What are your thoughts on this? Do you think that the Attorney General, who we must add, has apologised through a spokesman, so therefore has acknowledged that this wasn't the most choice form of phrase to use or for comparison to make? Do you think he deserves to go, though, for this?
Oh, goodness, no. I read through his speech and I couldn't see anything wrong with what he said. Oh, he drew a historical comparison to the rise of authoritarian governments in Germany. And he said that if you're going to take away people's human rights, which is what those who propose the removal of the ECHR from jurisdiction in the UK, that's exactly the path that we're going on. So they have to be careful. It was a cautionary note. I don't see that he needed to apologise, to be honest.
But he did apologise. Therefore, with you as theoretically one of the sharpest legal minds in the country, if not the sharpest legal mind in the country, I'm assuming he wouldn't have apologised if he didn't think he had done something wrong.
My experience is that lawyers aren't terribly good politicians. And I think once they get into the political arena, they may state facts, but what they are unaware of is that people will bracket together parts of their speech and come to conclusions that just aren't true. He didn't use the word Nazi. He didn't call anybody a Nazi. He didn't. He thought that thought that people were well-meaning in their aim to remove certain human rights. And I just think we misunderstand. I mean, Ben Habib earlier was saying that he wants to get rid of the Human Rights Act. Does he actually know that would result in all the cases that are currently heard in British courts being then heard in Strasbourg courts, that very foreign court that he so objects to?
What do you think those who object to our being affiliated to or under the aegis of the European Court of Human Rights think that they will achieve if we disengage from it? What do they think that we will
They think they will get a more powerful state, because either the state is the servant of the people or the people are the servant of the state. Mm-hmm. And people who want to remove the ECHR think that people are the servants of the state. As we've seen, the only country to leave the ECHR is, of course, Putin's Russia, which he controls with an iron fist. And human rights in Russia now are non-existent. The ECHR guarantees, for example, your right to a free trial, your right of freedom of expression. And those would all go if the ECHR was effectively removed.
So paint a picture for us of life in Britain if we sever ties with the ECHR and it no longer applies to us, it longer has any kind of, doesn't hold sway over us. What will happen?
You wouldn't have appeal to law. You wouldn't be able to demand the right to be heard by your peers. You wouldn't have the right of freedom of speech. That would be at the largesse of the government. You wouldn't be able to take part in local democracy. You wouldn't have.
But why not? Why wouldn't you be able to do all of those things under the governance of the democratically elected government, which you may say is obviously pivotally going to uphold our right to free speech, because it's one of the deepest and most cherished rights here? Why wouldn't we have that anyway, then? Why do we need the European Court of Human Rights for that?
That's fine. If you want a government selected on only 33% of the electorate to make a decision about your human rights, and what you're allowed
I think many people will think, yes, I do. I live in this country. I'm a citizen of the United Kingdom. I voted in the election. It's the government that is the the successful governing body. And yes, in this country, they can make decisions decisions.
I often hear this about people saying unelected courts. Where are the elected courts in the British Constitution?
So, but what are you saying? Are you saying that you don't think the courts in this country have sufficient, heft?
The courts rule on the rule of law. It is one of the most fundamental principles of British democracy. The ECHR was largely created from the experiences that we've had going back to Magna Carta about how you limit the power of the state. And that was a very important document at the time, because prior to then, the power of the state was infinite. And what that document said and what the ECHR is saying is that the power of the state is not infinite. that there are certain rights, that inalienable rights that people have, such as the right to a free trial. The government would be able to lock people up without a free trial, without a trial, without a recourse to law whatsoever. That's not the Britain that I understand. And to be honest, those people who dress themselves in the Union flag and say we pull out, we make a big, strong state which doesn't have human rights, they're the least patriotic people of all, because they don't understand what it is to be British.
Well, thank you very much for your passionate contribution, Andrew. Always a pleasure. Thank you, Andrew Boff, the Conservative member of the London Assembly. Let's go straight to Gavin, who's been hanging on in Carlisle. Gavin, what do you think? Tell me what's going on or what's going wrong. And should Lord Hermer get sacked, and should he have apologised?
I think that all the people calling for him to be sacked or to hang their heads in shame.
Right. Explain why.
Well, first off, I just want to warn everybody about how dangerous this is. Here we have a man who has made a very reasonable comparison to a very dark time in our history. And we're living through a dark time again. Just remember, just 8 months ago, our country was set on fire for 2 weeks. Racism is rocketing.
You're talking about the riots last summer? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I think our country was set on fire is a little extreme. I mean, some cars were set on fire. There was some...
What do you want to call it? I mean, the whole of the country was being destroyed. There were cities up and down the country. We were terrified. People, anybody of colour or anybody who knew anybody of colour was terrified. The whole state was terrorised by Nazis just last summer. Yeah, let's not play it down.
But Nazis? Like but hang on a minute. Aren't you doing exactly the same thing that Lord Hermer's being accused of doing, which is comparing people with Nazis? Why are you doing that, though? How does that enhance what you're saying? I mean, even saying the whole country was set on fire. I mean, it happened that I was broadcasting here every day during that because Sheila Fogarty was off, and I was doing 3 hours a day live on air and reporting on exactly what was going on. And we had reporters everywhere dialing in stories about the things that had been set on fire. But no way was the country on fire. And I don't think there's any suggestion that the people who got carried away or the people who believed what they were doing was right or the people who, you know, whatever it is, were Nazis, is there? Why would you say
Vanessa,
that? Yes.
Vanessa, yeah. You're not following this closely enough. And in the state just near me, a non-prescribed terrorist organisation called Patriotic Alternative was distributing flyers that said, Raffles is for the whites. And on the back of it, it had a map with the location of every known migrant family to attack. That's how bad things are in this country. We've got to go back to early 1930s Germany and look at what happened. Yeah, they attacked the judges, calling them unelected, just like they're trying to now. They undermined the rule of law because that then let them create Dachau in 1932, not long after they got in. Yeah, like it wasn't just about the gas chambers. Forget about that. Forget about all of the
stuff
that
happened in the last 2 years. Can't possibly forget about that, obviously. You can't ask me to forget about that if you know anything about my family. I haven't forgotten at all. I think that this is an incredibly crude analogy. It's an inaccurate comparison. It's something that's designated and created on purpose to be inflammatory. And that is why there are calls for Lord Hermer to resign. And that is why he apologised, because he saw that it was an inappropriately vile comparison. And to always decry your opponents by likening them to the worst possible regime you can think of, whether it's Pol Pot, whether it's Attila the Hun, or whether it's the Nazis, is not a productive or constructive way of dismantling an argument that you don't like or taking the heat out of a philosophy that you think is repellent. If you do that, you've played your final card, you've misplayed it. That's why he's apologising. That's why people are asking the Prime Minister to fire him as Attorney General. It's unseemly, it doesn't help, and all it does is grossly inflame, like saying last summer the country was on fire for 2 weeks. It was not. Things were set on fire, police cars, the sides of some buildings, but the country was not on fire, and it helps no one. It's like saying rivers of blood. Doesn't help, does it? All it does is grossly inflate something to the point where nobody can take a breath or have a measured argument, a sustained dialogue, unfortunately. Gavin, thank you very much indeed for the call. Great to talk to you. The call's now coming in thick and fast, of course. Katie in Oxfordshire says this man is vile. He's actually saying that foreigners are worth less than British people. She's talking about Ben Habib, my guest, and I did take him up on it immediately. Took him up immediately on his suggestion that, well, the phrase that he used, which was he said that the European Court of Human Rights says that all people are created equal. And I said, well, aren't they? Isn't that exactly what we think, don't we? That all men are created equal. And he went on to say, but in this country, the rights of British citizens must be paramount and must take precedence over the rights of people who've just arrived here or who aren't British citizens or have come here illegally or whatever else it is. So Katie in Oxfordshire is responding to Ben Habib, the guest, saying, this man is vile. He's actually saying that foreigners are worth less than British people. Disgraceful. I'm British, says Katie, but I absolutely value all humans. Hannah says, it's faux outrage of the highest order from the usual places who've built businesses and careers on whipping people into a froth. Good phrase, whipping people into a froth, Hannah. Excellent. The comparison is fair, and perhaps there is a touch of they doth protest too much from the voices calling for the resignation. Starmer, having a backbone, would be telling these voices what a non-issue this is and to not indulge their real reason for being outraged, which is hate engagement on social media. And Zach says, Vanessa, imagine trusting your top legal brain to mind his metaphors, only to find he's comparing ECHR skeptics to the Third Reich. Lord Hermer's handy jibe might win history quizzes, but it demolishes, it doesn't, I wouldn't think it would win any history quizzes either, Zach, actually, but anyway, might win history quizzes, but it demolishes any claim to sober counsel. If calling Kayleigh Badenoch and Nigel Farage wannabe Goebbels is shows judgment, Labour's lost the plot. A law officer who throws around Nazi baggage like confetti has forfeited credibility. Either Starmer acts fast, or the Office of Attorney General becomes a circus. All right, taking your calls on this one, 0345 6060973. Don't miss a chance to comment on this. It is a big deal, of course, and it does matter. This is LBC. I'm Vanessa Feltz. The time, 3:30. Time for the news with Sinead Carroll.
LBC understands UK officials will speak to the US at the earliest opportunity to comprehend the implications of Donald Trump's latest steel tariffs. President Trump says he'll double tariffs on steel and aluminium imports to the US to 50% on Wednesday. There have been long delays on the M5 today after a fatal crash last night. Two adults and a teenager died after a car came off the carriageway in South Gloucestershire. A child is still in hospital. A three-drug combination could help those living with a form of aggressive breast cancer to live longer and reduce the need for chemotherapy. Around 55,000 women and 400 men are diagnosed with breast cancer in the UK every year. And records released by Buckingham Palace have revealed gifts given to the royal family between 2020 and 2023. Highlights include King Charles receiving a Rolls-Royce and the late Queen Elizabeth being given a cobblestone from the Coronation Street set. LBC weather, staying dry with lots of sunshine this afternoon, warm overnight too. Tomorrow is going to be cloudy with more sunny spells, a high of 23.
LBC.
Did you know you can get Santander cycles for 24 hours for £3.50? I spent the day feeling the morning breeze, rolling with mates, keep up, free wheeling.
For £3.50, you can get 24 hours of unlimited 60-minute rides on Santander Cycles. Download the Santander Cycles app to find your nearest docking station. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Pedal bikes only. Additional charges apply for e-bikes. Other T's and C's apply.
For whoever they want to be in life, give them a great start with WellKid. Carefully balanced, great-tasting vitamins and minerals for 4 to 12-year-olds with specific nutrients such as zinc and vitamin D, which support normal immune system function. The WellKid range from Vitabiotics, from Boots, pharmacies and Vitabiotics.com.
Looking for a fixed passive income backed by real demand? With ulezprosperity.com, you buy the car, we rent it from you for a set period. You stay the legal owner and we pay you up to £600 per month in fixed rental income. No hassle, no maintenance, no tenants. It's a straightforward asset-backed rental agreement. Visit ulezprosperity.com for conditions and to learn more. That's ulezprosperity.com. Simple, steady, secure.
At EDF, we don't just encourage you to use less electricity, we actually reward you for it. That's why, when you use less during peak times on weekdays, we give you free electricity on Sundays. How you use it is up to you. EDF. change is in our power. Households who reduce their weekday peak electricity usage by 50% can earn up to 16 hours of free electricity per week, subject to fair usage. For all T's and C's, visit edfenergy.com/r-power.
At Wickes, save on Dulux Standard 2.5 litre coloured emulsion. Was £23, now £15. Feel as proud as a peacock with Wickes. Ends Wednesday. Terms apply.
This is LBC with Vanessa Feltz. Call 0345 6060973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
Welcome back to the programme. We'll be straight back with the discussion about the Attorney General. PM told to sack legal chief over Nazi slur. That's coming up straight after this. We're going to just veer into single-use vapes banned from tomorrow. Single-use vapes will be banned from the shelves of all shops from tomorrow thanks to a government blitz on sale and supply. The new crackdown makes it illegal to sell single-use vapes at corner shops and supermarkets, putting an end to their alarming rise in school playgrounds and the avalanche of rubbish flooding the nation's streets. The government's announcement of its intention to ban the use of disposable vapes has already had real effects, with retailers and consumers shifting away from environmentally destructive single-use options. New data from Charity Action on Smoking and Health shows the number of vapers in Great Britain who mainly use single-use devices fell from 30% in 2024 to 24% in 2025, with the use of disposables by 18 to 24-year-old vapers fell from 52% last year to 40% this year. But usage among young vapers remains too high, and with the coming ban into force tomorrow, will it continue to drive these figures down even further? And just to give you the enforcement news, any rogue traders breaking the rules will be hit with a fine of £200. In the first instance, all products will be seized. Let's go to Andre Kuchtroff, who is CEO of Evapo, which is an online vape shop with 58 local UK stores. Hello, Andre. Thank you for joining me. How do you carry on making a living now then?
Hello, Vanessa. Thank you for having me.
Pleasure.
I think customers, we've been preparing our customers now since 1 year, really, to switch to refillable options, to pre-filled options. And so there's plenty of choice now for customers to switch on. So I'm not too worried.
You're not worried. So explain how incredibly popular disposable vapes were and whether you are angry that the government has materially affected your business in this way and changed what you're allowed to sell and changed, you know, presumably the amount of money you can make, or whether you think it was the right thing. What are your thoughts about it all?
Well, I think angry would be a strong word, but I mean, I can understand on environmental reasons, by all means, ban disposables. I would caution from a public health perspective, disposables probably have helped up to 1 million smokers to successfully quit. So I would say the wisdom of quitting, banning disposables, which are far less harmful than cigarettes, while cigarettes are still legally available everywhere, I think it's probably a questionable logic, and I think it sends potentially a very wrong message.
Right. And so how have your customers responded to the measures? What do they say that they're going to do? Because that there is fear that people will start smoking cigarettes again, isn't there?
Yes. Yeah, I'm afraid to. So, I mean, we see certainly confusion. We see nervousness out there. We saw bulk buying. We know from our own surveys we did with our customers that 30% of our customers would consider to go back to smoking. So that's a big concern. Mm. We also know that 60% will consider buying from illicit sources, so which again would be a concern, and taking them out of the regulatory oversight.
And explain the difference in smoking a reusable vape. How much more expensive is it than a disposable vape was? And is the experience the same, or is it a big pain because you have to keep recharging it? How does it all work?
Well, it takes a little bit of explaining and just getting used to it. You have to change the pods. Long-term, actually, refillable options work out much cheaper for disposable users. And really, this was our argument to all our customers. Look, there are refillable options out there. They are easy to get on with nowadays. It has become so much easier. The technology has become so much better, and it works out much cheaper for customers in the long term.
Okay, so how do you see business progressing for you, and how do you see public conduct and the way people are going to behave turning out in the next, let's say, 6 months?
Yes, I mean, I would imagine that, and we already see that customers basically switch to those pre-filled options or refillable options. I think my really word to the government, also to the media, is there's a lot of confusion. We know that 50% of the population nowadays thinks that vaping is as harmful as smoking, mm-hmm. which is just far from the truth. We know NHS, Public Health England are very strong supporting vaping as a far less harmful option. And so really the message which should go out to the smokers there is if you can quit completely, that's great. If not, switch to vaping. It's the best thing you can do for your health as a smoker.
Thank you very much. Good to have you on the programme, Andre. Thank you. Let's go straight to the calls. This is about whether the Attorney General should resign, whether the Prime Minister should fire him, whether you agree with what he said materially or actually are horrified. Let's talk to Andrea in Leighton about this. Hello, Andrea. How nice to hear from you.
Vanessa, yes, thanks so much. I mean, I want to make a first point just to answer the question, should he be sacked or should he resign? I don't think so, because, you know, even though he's one of the great officers of law officers of state, you know, one can have a little bit too much red wine and you can shoot your mouth off, but then he's done the right thing, which is to apologise. Mm. And that's how you, unless you say something ludicrous, which he didn't. And he's obviously a very bright guy, so he's not unfit for the office. So, no, he shouldn't resign. The question is whether he's actually wrong as a point of sort of jurisprudence and philosophy. And he is wrong, as your first Ben Habib was saying, because he belongs to what I would call a kind of sort of class of internationalists who think there's a transcendental system of law just up in the heavens waiting to be plucked down by geniuses like Lord Hermer. But in fact, that's not how law emerges. It emerges from sort of particular political, historical, cultural traditions. Mm. And long before the Human Rights Act, I mean, this country was known as a font of common law and the rule of law. I mean, things went a bit wrong when the Normans invaded and then there was the Glorious Revolution and the Civil War. But since about the beginning of the 18th century, this constitution has been incredibly stable and a bastion. I mean, people could say it's bourgeois capitalist law, but it is a place where the rule of law is secure. So I don't have any problem with the existence of the European Court or with the European Convention on Human Rights. Mm. What I do have a problem with is, well, I'm just reading it right now. It's, I think it's Section 2.1 of the Human Rights Act, which says that the court or tribunal must be taken into account, must be, when a domestic court. That is wrong, because in our country, law emerges from the higher courts, from Parliament, and from the Crown. So to have this conflicting source of law, it's like pouring, you know, wine and vinegar into a glass thinking it's going to come out sweet. But
you heard Andrew Boff saying, you know, without the European Court of Human Rights, effectively we will have no human rights. Effectively we can just be banged in, you know, into the old chokey and the key thrown away. I mean, he really was pretty much saying that, wasn't he? Effectively our right to free speech will be nuked overnight and all of those sorts of things. As if the European Court of Human Rights is absolutely integral and imperative and essential to our continuing to be the embodiment of all the good things that we're supposed to be here, particularly a bastion of free speech, although I'm going to be talking about that in the next hour with a view to editing the Carry On films, you know, very important stuff. but is Andrew Boff right to express all that compunction and also to fill people with trepidation and deadly quaking or not?
I mean, again, he's free to shoot his mouth off, but he's wrong historically and jurisprudentially and philosophy. I mean, to suggest that there was no rule of law prior to 1998 is just obvious historical political rubbish. I mean, so he can talk rubbish, but he doesn't make it non-rubbish. So
are you a lawyer? Just checking.
I used to be a court reporter down at the Royal Courts of Justice for 4 years, okay. And I've got my UCL philosophy degree, so maybe I know a little bit what I'm talking about. I'm not a qualified lawyer. When the Human Rights Act came in, this point was constantly being debated. Are we introducing a foreign disturbing system of law that cannot be integrated with our common law parliament traditions? And that's correct. I mean, it was part of Blair's revolution of the late 1990s, and it was deliberately done. But now I think more balanced minds can see this was just destructive toying around, like sort of Bolshevik Blair. And so I wouldn't repeal the Human Rights Act. I would just take out, here we are, Section 2, brackets 1, which, instead of inviting the courts to look at the ECHRs, they might be invited to look at the States or New Zealand or Australia, it requires them to be basically controlled. And that is wrong in principle, because it just makes a perpetual conflict between common law traditions and this foreign court. And because this foreign court has to claim to rule in many different countries, whether or not that's feasible, that's just not possible. We live in nation states, not in sort of federations of supranational bodies.
So, A, do you think this will happen, that we will remove ourselves from its jurisdiction? And B, if it does, what do you see as the kind of immediate impact on people's lives, if any?
Well, if I could predict what government's going to do, I could become a millionaire overnight.
True, true. I'm no longer a court reporter, that's true.
So, I mean, I don't think any... There wouldn't be an instant revolution. People wouldn't be out on the strand saying, you know, close the Royal Courts of Justice. On the contrary, they might say, oh, my goodness, someone's done a sensible political act, which is to remove the requirement that this disturbing system of law is injected into our common law traditions. And if you do that, it's like, you know, it's like chasing out a swarm of rats or bees from a laboratory. It's obviously the right thing to do. Nothing would prevent domestic courts from looking to the ECHR if they had some particularly troublesome point. You know, let's look at what they said yesterday. It's just the requirement that the courts must. Now, that is a piece of folly because it destabilizes the rule of law in this country.
And so, Lord Hermer, the use of language, immoderate, he's already apologised, although reluctantly and through a spokesperson. Do you think he should be for the chop in some way? Do you think it was just unforgivably crude, inaccurate, alarmist and unpleasant?
No, I mean, you know, even Disraeli probably said some stupid things, and so did Churchill. it's pointless jumping down, even in a world of social media, it's pointless jumping down people's throats simply because they say one or two odd things. He's obviously a bright chap. He's not irresponsible. He's up to the job. I'm sure he has his own political and social philosophy, but that's why you elect people and appoint ministers of state precisely to embody. I mean, you don't like him, throw out the government.
All right. OK, well, I think we'll end on that note. If you don't like him, throw out the government. Thank you so much, Andrea and Nathan there. All right. Taking your calls, less than 15 minutes to go on this subject. 0345 606 0973. Should the Prime Minister, according to Kemi Badenoch, if he doesn't do it, he shows no backbone. Should he show some backbone? And should he get rid of the Attorney General, Lord Hermer, after his comments likening those who want to remove Britain from the aegis of the European Court of Human Rights to those who were espousing Nazi ideology in 1930s Germany? He doesn't actually use the word Nazi, doesn't use the word Hitler, but he certainly equates that perspective and point of view with the point of view held by Nazi ideologues at that time. 0345 606 0973. I'm Vanessa Feltz. This is LBC in the time, 3:45.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
The only way is up for the UK's military spending.
I can announce this government will begin the biggest sustained increase in defence spending since the end of the Cold War.
And now a pledge to go further, as the government promises to get off defence and publish the Strategic Defence Review. The Prime Minister says Britain needs to get fighting fit, but will his plan simply cause more offence?
Nick Ferrari at breakfast, back Monday morning from 7. Listen on your radio, on Global Player and the new LBC app.
Body pain might not sound like this.
Oh.
Or this.
Oh.
But it might sound like this.
I'm fine.
Hiding your body pain behind a smile? Let us help. With up to 12 hours of uninterrupted muscle and joint pain relief. Voltarol, the joy of movement. Voltarol Joint and Back Pain Relief 2.3% gel contains diclofenac diethylammonium. Always read the label.
Hey, Harry.
Hello, mate.
Got any tips?
Your best bet is to play BetVictor's daily free-to-play guaranteed prize wheel.
What guaranteed prizes does this guaranteed prize wheel guarantee?
The guaranteed prize wheel means you're guaranteed to win prizes, like free bets, free spins, exclusive offers and cash. Guaranteed.
What was it called again?
The guaranteed prize wheel.
Well, I guarantee I'll give it a spin.
And I guarantee you'll win a prize.
Listen to Harry and make your best bet on BetVictor's guaranteed prize wheel. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. Opt in and spin the wheel. Rewards expire 24 hours after claiming. Gambleaware.org.
When you're sure you know the answer. When it's on the tip of your tongue. When you beat the buzzer and the contestant.
Get in the bag.
How did you know that?
Naturally brilliant, I guess.
Yeah, modest too.
Nothing brings us together like great TV. And a TV licence covers you to watch all TV channels so you can play along with all your favourite quiz shows. Search TV licence together.
At ulisprosperity.com, you buy the car and we pay you up to £600 per month in rental income. For conditions, visit ulisprosperity.com.
When you sail on a Saga cruise, you really can relax, because so much is included. A choice of speciality restaurants? Included. A balcony with every cabin? Included. Wonderfully attentive staff? Included. Spotting a whale out at sea? Included. Realising the whale is actually just a wave? Included. Search Saga Boutique Cruises 2026 season on sale now. Experience is everything. T's and C's apply, over 50s only.
Vanessa Feltz on LBC. Call 0345-6060-973.
David says, as a fellow Jew, I think it was quite unbelievable that Herma could describe people who wanted something like this as Nazis. He didn't exactly say Nazis, but I did read you exactly what he did say. And his position is clearly untenable. It is worse coming from a fellow Jew than from anyone else. This is David. And this says he didn't call anyone in particular a Nazi. He should not have to resign. Absolutely diametrically opposed views on one sheet of paper coming in as they come in chronological order. We don't pick and choose. We don't cherry pick these. We just read them. Well, I do anyway. I don't know what happens on other programmes, but I just read them in the order they come in, so that if they're all on one side or another, you can see that. And if they vary, you can see that. And in this instance, you can see how completely contradictory they are. Let's see what Robin in Whitehaven has to say about this. How do you feel about this one, Robin? Do you feel strongly?
I don't think he should resign. Right. I don't think he should be sacked. I don't think he should apologise. Mm. I think there are some people, I won't mention individuals either, who want us to leave the European Court of Human Rights. And I think there will be some people who believe that British people have supremacy over, which could lead to Aryanism. Mm. And I can't believe that anyone, you know what I mean, the benefits of the European Human Rights Court protect us all. You know what I mean? Do we really want to end complete power to the state like 1930 Germany? I certainly don't. Can we trust the state? If you look at the infected blood scandal and how long it took the governments to get involved with the post office scandal, can we really trust the state?
And on the other hand, the European Court of Human Rights, what kind of sway has it held over Windrush, over the post office scandal, the infected blood scandal? Have you felt that it's imposed any kind of checks, balances or anything to bring restitution, compensation to the people who suffered so unfairly?
It's not perfect, but as individual citizens, we can go to the European Rights Court. We can go there. So if you look at the benefits of being a member of it, the right to life, the right to a fair trial, the right to not get locked up without trial, the right of conscience and thought, rights of religion. So I would like someone to tell me the benefits of leaving European Court of Human Rights. Like I said, it's not perfect, but I'd rather have the
Did you hear my first guest Ben Habib say that the European Court of Human Rights, he used this phrase, something about, you know, maintains that all are equal, all people are equal, and in this country that should not be the case. In this country, said Ben Habib, British citizens should take precedence over other people, especially if they haven't been invited to come here, and therefore the idea that all humans are equal was not what he wanted at all, and that was one of the reasons why he would like to sever us from the European Court of Human Rights. Did you hear him say that? What did you make of that?
I thought it was shocking, really, and I thought that's what inspired me to phone up Vanessa, because, like I say, I'm not singling anyone out, the caller who you had on, the guest, but there will be some people who have ulterior motives that spout leaving the European Human Rights for not very nice purposes. So I would just say to the listeners, Google the European Rights and see how they protect us all as citizens, and just think about, do they trust the state? That's my thing.
Do you feel a fundamental lack of trust for the state? And did you feel it before you found out about the post office, about the blood scandal, about Windrush, or have you always felt that? I mean, did you feel it anyway?
I think probably that's highlighted how much power the state has and how much little power the individual have. I know we have a democracy and we can elect governments, but I think the state has too much power, and I think we should never give rights away willy-nilly. That's what I believe. We should never, ever give rights away. The European Court of Human Rights isn't perfect. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a lot better than giving power to the state, ultimate power.
I appreciate the call. Thank you, Robin, very much. Let's go to Anders in Great Yarmouth. Hi, Anders. Good to hear from you.
Thank you. I'm really kind of let's sideline this argument yeah. whether or not he should quit because he called people a Nazi, and let's talk about exactly what he said.
I did. He doesn't. I read it at the beginning. I said, let me read it so that we know exactly what he said, and I read it.
I know, but this is what it's gotten caught into. I'm not saying that this is your fault, Vanessa. I'm just saying this is what it's all got caught into here. Mm-hmm. The thing is, what he was talking very specifically about Carl Schmitt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Carl Schmitt's big quote that everybody like knows of him for is that the sovereign is the one. It goes something along the lines of the sovereign decides on the exception. Mm-hmm. Now, why did he mention Carl Schmitt? Mm-hmm. Okay, why did he mention Carl Schmitt prioritizes power over law and frames crises as justifications for rule breaking in the name of the nation? Mm-hmm. Very simply, unitary executive theory. There's a guy called Stephen Wolf who's big honcho in the White House right now. There's lots of factions in the White House, but a big faction is the Christian Nationalist faction.
Yeah.
And they are the ones who believe in what's called a unitary executive theory.
Mm-hmm.
And it hasn't really gotten a lot of press here in the UK because it's the boring stuff. But basically what's happening right now is the president can ignore the law during crises, war, immigration, and moral decay. Mm-hmm. That is what the president is doing right now. We're facing a crisis of noncompliance in the United States, which is basically the president refusing to obey with the law because...
Although we are seeing the law doing its very best to take down the president in many ways, particularly over this tariff thing where they've stepped in, haven't they, and stopped him in his tracks.
The law courts don't work that way in the United States.
But hasn't it just happened only the day before yesterday or yesterday? That he was kind of slammed down in various courts,
but those courts will eventually go on to other courts, they'll eventually go on to the Supreme Court. And as we've seen, the present Supreme Court is Trump leaning. Now, here's the thing. This is where it bleeds into the UK. Ever since Brexit, and definitely because of the Reform Party, you've had this Brexit maximalist UK variant, which is parliamentary sovereignty, unconstrained parliamentary sovereignty. The Reform Party best exemplify this, and, you know, Habib, whom he had at the beginning, is certainly, you know, a Brexit nationalist who wants to get rid of the Northern Ireland Protocol, the European Convention on Human Rights, and gets rid of judicial review because he believes that Parliament is sovereign.
Yep.
Now, that's the situation you're in right now. These parties and these beliefs have the same international backers, they have the same international fuels, and they have the same international targets, including the European Court of Human Rights, which really is just a court of last resort. It's nothing more and nothing less. It doesn't force the UK courts to do anything. It is said that the UK courts should take into advisement what the Strasbourg court has said, but that does not mean that they are bound by it in any way, shape or form. Mm-hmm. And incidentally, I will say this is that, you know, I was anti-Brexit, as you may imagine, but the Brexit debate didn't help because Miller 2, the legal system basically helped itself by becoming marginal. You know, the Miller 2 validated what is fundamentally an English nationalist view of Parliament as sovereign. And that's what we're in right now. We're in a situation whereby the views of Carl Schmitt are being exercised by the executive in the United States that is influencing all hard right networks across the Europe, including Reform, Marine Le Pen, Lega, and all the others, because they're all basically in the same boat.
And so therefore, you've everything you've asserted. Now what though? What are the repercussions or possible ramifications of that?
Of what? That's the world you're living in.
Oh God. All right. Well, I have to hope you're wrong somehow, Anders. I think everyone has to hope you're wrong, whether you're right or not. Let's go to Justice. What a great name in New Cross Gate. God, what a fabulous name. I love to speak to someone called Justice. Hello.
Hi, Vanessa. Thank you so much.
You should thank your parents for that. What a great, great start in life. Tell me what you make about what the Attorney General said and whether the Prime Minister should give him the boot because of it.
I think what the gentleman said is bang spot on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we cannot resort to listening to these minority of people who want to change things because they do not like it. For example, if we take away immigration from what the ECHR has done over the years, I don't think any of these individuals would be calling for the UK to pull out of the EC from the convention.
Mm-hmm.
It's simply because they're equating the ECHR to immigration, to an immigration court, basically, because they don't like the laws or the cases that they have lost there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and another thing that's very important is you look at the UK, for example. Why is the UK the only major European country, Western European country, that wants to pull out of the ECHR?
Mm.
What is so bad about this that people like France, Germany, Belgium, and all of them are staying in, but the UK wants to pull out, apart from immigration? taken out of the context and nothing more. Uh-huh. And these are the very people who are parroting Brexit this, you know, is going to do this. There is nothing, you know, this man has said that is out of question. And if people allow this minority to have a say or, you know, carry the day and whatever, if you say the right thing, you have to resign, of course. We cannot allow something like that to do. If I'm the gentleman, I wouldn't resign. If I was Keir Starmer, I wouldn't sack him.
All right. Thank you, Justice, very much indeed for the call. And just to finish with this from John, it's true, Vanessa, that it's unhelpful when some people try to aggravate current affairs with their references to Hitler or Enoch Powell's controversial speech, etc. At best, it attempts to make comparisons where none exist. At worst, it's a deliberate attempt to whip up supporters into a frenzy for their own ends. It does nothing to encourage a sensible debate where serious decisions need to be made, where often unknown long-term consequences are at stake. The Attorney General should know better and needs to be reined in. Let me tell you what's coming up in the next hour. A TV channel says it wants to show old films, like the Carry On films, for example, without fear of an Ofcom fine if it leaves in the original outdated language. TV bosses say classic comedies should be exempt from modern broadcasting rules so the authenticity of the show is not damaged. Ofcom says it's not a censor, and broadcasters have editorial freedom to decide what they air. So should we edit films to make them suitable for us in 2025? What do you think? Would you like to watch an original Carry On film with the original language, the original jokes, and you'd thoroughly enjoy it? 0345 606 0973. This is LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 4 o'clock, UK officials are reported to be engaging with the US after Donald Trump announced a new tariff on metal imports. The US president said he will double the tax on steel and aluminium to 50% from Wednesday. The UK agreed a trade deal with the US last month, but it's yet to come into force. Three people have died after